keep the background noise to a minimum. If you'd like to come off of mute, just press star 6, say Dave, 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 and I'll respond, and I can be here to serve you. And this can be an interactive coaching session. This is an unusual experience for her to be able to do this on a Tuesday night. We're usually going live broadcast on our videos. I mentioned before I put this on record that our internet is down here at the office, so we're not able to access and do our live broadcast as usual. This is what is recorded, this audio piece, and put up on your intentional creation tools anyway. So welcome everyone tonight, and welcome those who are here for the first time. Each Tuesday night we get together to talk about these principles. We talk about the 6 qualities of an intentional creator, the first being connection with people, how to listen, and how to take down walls of resistance so that we can release the huge latent reserve of cooperation and productivity. We have a lot of people with stories today and very few listeners. Walls have never been so high, but they've never been so thin. This is an opportunity for us to connect at a deep and rich level with individuals as we become the listener. We talk in that section about taking our challenges out of our sack and wearing them in our heart so they're not a burden anymore, not dragging them behind us, but they're fully available, like a lens we can look through to better understand what another person is experiencing and show up and serve that person. And the more painful the experience, the more beautifully prepared you are for this moment in time. I had this experience this afternoon. It was tender. An individual has been going through some really horrific experiences and now is so perfectly positioned to serve others because he knows what it feels like. He knows the questions to ask. No one needs to prompt him or script it for him. He knows. People can feel understood. Oh, finally, someone knows where I am. The greatest gift we can give another person, to feel understood, not for us to understand them, but for them to know that we understand them. That's the gift that creates connection. We talk about mental creation. This one is probably the most timely in the sense that right now, we're using our very vivid imaginations. Now, vivid means that we're driving down the road and we miss an exit because our mind is just somewhere else. Ramona could smile because this is what it's like riding with me in a car. Just to remind me where to turn left and right because I'm just preoccupied with something. You see it so vividly. However, when things get difficult in our lives, there is a tendency to use this thought process to either escape into the future, to a time when we're not having the stress, we just want to get away from it. And we go into a thing called fantasy, which sets us up for horrific physiological reaction in our body. We end up in the dark dungeon of despair and discouragement, playing out endless worst-case scenarios. The case this afternoon, the gentleman was in the case of this afternoon, where there's attorneys involved and child custody issues, and a person can play out endless scenarios like how to shoot my wife's attorney and get away from it, get away with it, whatever it might be, just obsessively thinking. So when we're having these challenges, we get into these spirals where we go into worst case scenarios and we just go right to the depths of hell in 10 seconds. We want to learn how to control this thought, this very vivid visualization, so that we're not spending time in that dungeon of despair or in fantasy, setting ourselves up for some really horrific experiences physiologically. We want to be in creation. In creation, where we are consciously using this vivid visualization to find people that we can serve, to mentally rehearse, to think about events that are in the short term and long term, but short term, very helpful. Use this vivid visualization. It's still in the future. See more clearly how we could show up. What can I create? How can I create that? How would that serve? And we stay in this creative process, and we don't waste a moment mourning yesterday's defeats or yesterday's aches of the heart. We don't torment ourselves over things that may never come to pass. We know that when we go into that space, we try to put tomorrow's gold in today's purse, as Og calls fantasy. Whenever we engage in those negative thought processes, we just set ourselves up for a horrific experience throughout the day. Either we're mentally impaired, because parts of our prefrontal cortex, our empathy and intuition, are impaired. Our memory center is damaged. Our body's got this anxious anxiety feeling. We stay in creation. There are five ways we can do that. We'll be back to that here in a few weeks for those of you who are here for the first time tonight. We'll go through each one of those five ways of using our mind constructively so that we can stay in creation. This could be the most important topic in today's economic environment and with the challenges it's creating in relationships. Where we decide to spend our mental time, is any of it spent in destructive areas? Because we cannot let one drop spill upon the sand of negativity. Not one. If we use it constructively, we'll get inspired ideas. They'll be manifest. Inspired ideas, impressions, solutions to challenges. That will ignite our passion. And then we go to the third quality where we begin passion-driven action. When we're in passion-driven action, we actually get to meet who we are, our natural genius, that which we normally only see when we stop procrastinating and jump in and do a task and go, wow, that wasn't so hard, because we finally got to meet who we are, free of all that noise and white noise in our head, that bzzz all the time. We finally got to meet us. We get the joy and the sense of accomplishment, of creation. Glorious place to live. Present in the now. Fully engaged. Mind and body. Working without counting the cost or tracking the time. Doing whatever is required, whatever, to create a tangible reality in this world. What we've seen so clearly in our mind. Well, those are the three foundational qualities we talk about in the book. In the coaching, which all of you have been through, individually or through group, and now we're coming to review this, we've taken now three steps further than just the book did. We move into a section called Discipline and Structure. Discipline and Structure introduces a whole new series of thought processes. Now, what's fun for everybody on this call, if you haven't seen this yet, you're going to want to go look at it tonight. If you're next to your computer, you want to look at it while we're having this conversation. Now, I can't see it right now because the internet's down, but you can. Go to augmandino.com. You can click on Member Login. It's on the front page, on the home page. Choices, free download free chapters of the book, become an intentional creator, take the free assessment, just keep going down that list to Member Login. And you can log in and look at your assessment results. If you haven't taken one recently, take a new one. We've eliminated the world and some of the confusion that I think we created with that design. We simplified everything. We divided these thought processes into six major areas. Six major areas. These are the six qualities of an intentional creator. You'll see connection as one of those areas with the six measurements, just for connection. Instead of having in their axiological order, we pulled them out and just put them into the group so that when you're working on connection, you're working on these six measurements, empathetic, respectful, accepting, tolerant, just, and fair, and compassionate. You'll see that on your assessment. We're going to talk about discipline and structure tonight, and you'll see that on the left-hand side, that's your external world, there's connection, physical creation, which is what we do out here in the tangible world, and discipline and structure, dealing with those rules and policies and procedures and thinking about thinking. And there are those six measurements. There they are. You can click on any one of them and listen to what your thoughts may want you to do. You can go to your intentional creation studio and click on quality number 4, which is discipline and structure. And you can listen to the audio or download the PDFs. It's all now coordinated. Assessment report and the qualities of an intentional creator. I want to spend a little bit of time on each one of these measurements. If you don't have your assessment in front of you or you can't get to your computer, let's talk about each one of these just for a moment. Just make some notes so that when you go back to your assessment, you can see how these are showing up for you. Because this is one of the greatest sources of noise that will keep us from being present in the now. And every time we go to read the scrolls, we read the scrolls in the now. It's basically like physical creation. When we go to do a task, we do it in the now. This is where we do tangible creation. This is where we take the idea we've seen and we actually create it. And these are the thought processes that are going to get in the way most of the time. These are the biggest culprits. These six measurements under discipline and structure. They are noisy and they are systemic. Just write down systemic. That's system with an ick. Systemic. That means they process dualistically. Now you do not get to change that fact. You can step back and manage these thought processes, but you don't get to change the fact that they're systemic. They just are. That means that they process in a dualistic pattern, right or wrong, black or white, all or nothing, life or death. That's how they process. Second of all, they cannot distinguish the seriousness of the topic. If it is broken, it must be fixed. If it's wrong, it must be made right. No matter what it is. We could blow up a marriage over the topping on a pizza or a bagel. We could see committed companions getting in a fight over the name of a movie. We could see somebody getting upset about turning left instead of turning right because that's the fastest way versus the other way. These are things we could have challenges over if we chose to. One person says one thing, the other one disagrees, and the other one disagrees, and pretty soon there's a heated argument over something that really isn't that important. But these thought processes cannot distinguish the seriousness of the challenge. This is such a key piece for us to understand. When there is something that isn't right, the world is on tilt. The world is on tilt. Third, in a systemic thought, there is a release of molecules into your body. We actually feel this at a visceral level, at a cellular level. We can feel it. It's not in our mind. It's in the cells of our body. We can feel it. It feels like this is who we are. Somebody is challenging me. Which brings us to number 4. 95% of the time, a person cannot separate their idea from their self-worth. Just take your fingers and intertwine your fingers and your palm. Squeeze your palms together. And imagine your left hand is your idea and your right hand is self-worth. Inextricably connected, tied right together. It helps us understand that if we need to be right about something and someone else is resisting us or fighting back, it's really not about the topic. It's about self-esteem. We're challenging their worth. Their worth. And when they are questioning us 95% of the time, they're challenging our worth. That's why we get defensive. Resistant. If we are not practicing agape love, if we're not having a heightened level of awareness, if we're not stepping back from this and seeing it for what it is, powerful thing for us to do. Step back. Difficult thing. These may be the most challenging thought processes for us to step back from. I want to spend just a few minutes with each one of these measurements and give you some keys that can help you in better managing them. The first one is disciplined. Now, 99.5% of the time, that's 995 people out of 1,000. You can't even do it with 100 people because it would be a half a person. You've got to go to 200 at least, because that's 90, that's 199 out of 200. That's a lot. It's almost everybody. Is naturally resistant to structure. 99.5 of those who are actively seeking to be abundant, to create in their lives something magnificent. That independent kind of thought. Discipline is going to show up orange or red. Resisting structure. If we were to say to it or ask it, disciplined, how do you feel about the rules? Disciplined would say, well, I'll follow them if they make sense. It's going to look outside the box. It's going to try to find more creative solutions. This is a very powerful part, this creativity, the searching for a better box. The downside is, it's going to want everybody to fit in that box once it decides how it ought to look. It's going to be resistant. And lastly, and this could be the most challenging, anytime someone else tries to impose a structure on us, we'll be resistant to that structure. Now, I don't want to suggest schizophrenia. I just want you to feel this. Here you are, the observer, looking at this thought. Just separate yourself from it for a moment. Sit here in front of you. Look at it. When someone tries to impose structure on it, it rebels. Just know that when you try to impose structure on it, it rebels. But I really want to lose that weight. But why am I still eating at 10 o'clock at night? This thought process is rebelling. We want to step back from this one and tell it to be quiet. This will be the hardest one to break, I believe. It's one of the hardest ones to break. It's just such a natural resistance, and it's such a mathematically significant measurement. It's the third most powerful measurement in the hierarchy. It's a hard one to break, that resistance. However, I found that the very best way to do it is to truly, at an intrinsic level, choose that that's who you want to be. That's who you want to be. It won't stop the resistance. It's just the best way to take it on. Don't let someone else keep telling you what to do. Make the decision to accept it yourself. Make it part of who you are. That's disciplined. Now, teachable is the next one. This is an interesting one. We see this orange, sometimes red, and it's often around the 90th percentile, 92 percentile, of those who are entrepreneurial. If you have this measurement, orange or red, just go, wow, that's fascinating. Because that means that when I look at a person in a position of authority, I do not value their title. I value their ability. I value their contribution. I value their experience, but not their title. Their title does not earn them the right to tell me what to do. This is whether or not we can see the practical benefits in following someone in a position of authority. Entrepreneurs have a hard time doing this. Part of the reason why they're entrepreneurs, they want to be their own boss. They don't want someone else telling them what to do. If this measurement is red, you might want to explore, have I ever been in a job where someone's trying to use their authority to get me to do something, and I'm resisting, and I want to say something, Orange, I want to say it. Red, I probably will say it. Just ask yourself, have I ever been fired, reprimanded, and written up because I vocalized my feelings? If this is red, we smile and say, hopelessly unemployable. Make sure you're in a job where you have a fair amount of autonomy or have a career where you're in charge of your destiny. This one will be a little bit tougher to break, typically because when it gets orange and then turns red, there's generally a story behind this one. If you are orange, and particularly if you're red, I want you to just explore this with me for a moment. Was there ever a time in your life when you felt controlled by someone? And you either consciously or subconsciously promised yourself that if you could ever break free from that, you would never, ever allow yourself to ever be there again. Anything come to mind? Could be a parent, teacher, an ex-spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend. Just think about this. Employer. See it for what it is. The best way to manage this is to go back and remember what created it. And ask yourself, what buttons get pushed when someone approaches me like that person did? When they talk like that person talked. When they try to be my father, so to speak. And just see it for what it is in the moment and go, wow. I'm going to glean value from what's being said. Regardless of who's saying it or how it's being said, I want to glean value. Because the tendency is to throw the baby out with the bathwater, to resist the message because of the messenger. That's teachable. Analytical. Analytical is orange 97% of the time. For those who are actively seeking to create more with their life. It's an entrepreneurial measurement. Entrepreneurs think effortlessly. That's what that goes from blue to green to orange to red. It's just telling us there's just an enormous thought process, an effortless thought process, even a constant or even obsessive thought process. Now that can be a gift. You give this thought process a challenge, and it will stew on it till it comes up with a solution. Wake you up in the middle of the night. Oh, wow, there it is, yes. Its risk is one, it may have you preoccupied. You're not fully present. Two, it may have you thinking more than you're actually doing. It'll keep you from doing. And three, this is the most serious of all the challenges. It gets attached to its ideas. It gets attached to its ideas. If you surrender your free will to that thought process, there's a good chance you might show up needing to be right. One of the exercises I'd like you to consider tonight is this one. I want you to schedule a time with someone closest to you who might have been adversely impacted when you need to be right. Schedule a time to sit down with them. Sit down. And just ask them. Share with them. I've been doing some coaching and I've had my thought processes measured, and one of them is very active. And when I surrender to that thought process, I get really attached to my ideas and I need to be right. What's it been like for you to be in a relationship for however long it is, 2 weeks, 6 months, 20 years, 50 years, whatever it might be for you? When I show up needing to be right, what's that like for you? And just sit back and bite your tongue and listen. You want to be in a power session, really focus in the now. Be careful not to take anything personal because this isn't about you. This is about this person's experience of you when you surrender your free will to these habits of thinking, particularly analytical. What's it like for someone? This can help you see the damage that can be done. Now, not everybody's going to have someone say, well, this is how it is. Someone will say, I don't, that's not my experience of you. That's possible. But if it's not, encourage them to share. Now, just know as they're sharing, if they say something that analytical doesn't agree with, like last Thursday when you said this, and analytical's going, that's not what I said. At least that's not what I meant. Spider tongue. We're not going to say anything. Because this is giving them a safe place to have their experience. We don't need to be right about their experience. This is their experience. Let them have it. And when they're done, all you say is, thank you. I'll be working on that one. Thank you. I'll be working on that one. During the conversation, you can say things like, well, tell me more about that, or please share. It'd be most helpful. Now, make a little note when you're going to do this exercise, this right-wrong exercise. And when you do, drop me an email, dave@ogmandino.com. I want to know about these. These are such precious moments for so many. Great discoveries. Just write 12 to 24 or 24 to 48, a period of time afterwards. Because if someone says something to you and this systemic thought, analytical, doesn't agree with it, it's going to have you start obsessively thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it. Because it needs to fix that which is wrong. It perceives that this person's experience was inaccurate, and it wants you to fix their perception. It doesn't want to be held responsible for it. It wants you to fix it. And if it's a spouse that you've talked to, or a committed companion, the next day you come up and you put your arms around them and you say, oh, that was such a wonderful experience. I truly enjoyed that moment. Only thing that bothered me was, and you'll hear this thought process passive-aggressively trying to fix. You know, you said on Thursday, I said this, and you know what I really meant to say was this, and we might as well say, and so there I fixed you. Get over it. Just don't go there. Just warn yourself. The true test of this test will be that after you say, thank you, I'll be working on that, we let go. We choose to step back and let go. We don't take it personally. We don't try to fix it. We just have that experience. That's one thing that'll help us with this need to be right. Analytical discipline can play into this too. The other exercise, now some of you have been through this when we went through the coaching. We tried these exercises. If you've done this with one, do this with another person. Maybe a child or a sister or a brother, some of your siblings. Check when, just have a conversation like this. It does a couple of things that are, it's magical. When Og says, with love I can melt all hearts like in the sun whose rays soften the coldest clay. When we show up in this space, we're creating such a safe place for someone to feel understood in a relationship. It will melt their heart. It's a great gift to give someone that which could have been just irritating them has finally been recognized by you. What a gift to give someone, to have their walls come down, their cooperation, productivity flood out. Miracles happening. I had a client tell me about this morning. Oh my goodness. Something she'd been failing to do and needing to be right about, and the person challenged her, and she simply said, you're right, that's, I did that. I'm so sorry. The person couldn't help but forgive her. When we step down in somebody's world and say, what's it been like to be in a relationship with me when I need to be right? And we really want to know. We want to honor them, create a safe place for them. We melt hearts. The very thing we wanted to be right about and fix them takes care of itself when we show up in this space. This is a beautiful place to start. The next exercise. Now, some of you may have tried this during practice, during our coaching practice. I love to have you try it again this week and become a major part of what you do on a daily or weekly or how often you end up in a situation like this. This is when you're feeling really strongly about something. You want to do it a certain way. And the person you're with wants to do it a different way. And we're so stuck. And now we, in our consciousness, step back from our desire. And we look and say, could you share with me again what you'd like to do? And we really listen this time. Now your thought process, analytical, is going to be screaming, and methodical, if it's orange, it's going to be screaming with it, don't do it. They'll think you agree with them. You're not going to get your way. Methodical has to be absolutely right about it, has to defend it, has really closed anybody else's ideas. If it's orange, just to step back and go, no, I'm going to listen. I'm going to bring my empathy and my intuition to bear, and I'm going to listen. And as we listen, we want to look for something good in that idea. Now, I shared with every one of you the avocado story, where you're under an avocado tree looking for some avocado fruit, and you can't see it. It's so well camouflaged. And you look, and you look, and you look, and you finally see one, and when you see one, you see dozens. They just come out of nowhere. They were there the whole time, you just couldn't see them. And so it is when we find good in a person's idea, we're likely to find more than one thing. We might be really surprised to see just how much there is. This is a great gift to give someone, to find good in their idea. Because remember, their idea and their self-worth are inextricably connected. So when we find good in their idea, we just found good in them. Og says, speaking of love, I'll make this my greatest weapon. A none whom I call can defend against his force. We find good in the idea. We find good in the person. Their walls come down. And we get to have a conversation. This is a beautiful way to melt a heart. As Og says, we can melt all hearts like in the sun whose rays soften the coldest clay. Now, these are a couple of exercises to help us. Finding out what it's like for someone to be in a relationship when they need to be right. And finding good in another person's idea and taking down the walls of resistance so two people don't have to dig in their heels. Analytical, methodical. Methodical just tells us how open we are to someone else's idea. Analytical tells us how much time we're thinking. The risk is we'll get attached. Methodical can tell us to the extent to which we're attached. Consistent. This is a measurement almost all of us confront at some time or another. If the measurement's orange, you just know it's happening a lot more. Everybody pause for a moment. Just step back and reflect on what's happening in your life and say, what's the biggest thing I need to get done that I've been putting off? What's my biggest big ugly? If I turned to Ramona and said, sweetheart, what's my biggest big ugly that you're aware of? Anything come to mind? Pardon? We won't mention that one. That's because I am big and ugly. Now, I did exercise this morning. I was on the treadmill, lifted my weights. It was a great morning. Yes, consistently exercising. It might be a tax return for someone. It might be a major repair that needs to be handled. And so here we are, faced with this task. We have a tendency to schedule it far enough down the road that it's safe. It's just far enough for us to feel really good that it's on the schedule, but far enough away that it's not an immediate threat. So here we are on Tuesday night. We schedule it for Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock. There it is. I'll do this just before I leave the office. This will be my last thing for the day or whatever. Now, Wednesday comes, we're still safe. Thursday comes, we're still safe. Then comes Friday. It's 8 o'clock, then 9 o'clock, then 11 o'clock, then 1 o'clock. 2 o'clock comes. Just want you to have some fun with this. 2 o'clock comes, and this thought process, especially if it's orange, is going to start giving us all kinds of things that we can do that are important, that can help us avoid doing that which this thought process does not want to do. If we just sharpen our pencils, you know, if we just clean up our desk, if we move the wash from the washing machine to the dryer, ooh, I need to call mom, she's leaving for the weekend, and I need to make sure she's okay, or my dear friend is in the hospital, or just a million things, maybe not a million, but several things to help us avoid. If you want to have some fun with this one, make the sign, interruptions welcomed. Put on an 8.5 by 11 on landscape, interruptions welcomed. And put it somewhere so you can just chuckle. And every time you go to do this, just act now. Act now. Because what we always know is when we schedule it and we execute it, we always feel incredibly wonderful. Sense of accomplishment. A burden lifted off of our shoulders. Dark cloud out of the room. However you might view it, it's just wonderful to have it done. It's no longer there. I don't have to worry about that anymore. That piece is done. Oh, what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. Let us remember that feeling. And let us not have thought processes from this consistent measurement talking us out of doing the task. Last measurement's loyal. It's been a long time since we've gone through these measurements like this. I do hope this is serving you tonight. Loyal, we don't see out of balance very often, but when we do, it typically is telling us that, you know, we're not really good at supporting the rules. We might be a little too lenient. And the risk when we're lenient, we don't have proper boundaries. People just kind of are like mercury. They just go to wherever there is a boundary, and if there isn't one, it just keeps going beyond. And that can really create chaos in a family and chaos in a business. We're going to want to know what the rules are, because there are important rules, guidelines for running a business. The structure is essential. We're going to want to know what it is, and we're going to want to help enforce it and not let people get away with things, because that's not healthy. Well, here is the noise. Here is the noise. And it is really loud. Resisting, resenting, rebelling. The truth is the very things that we want to have in life are often right behind the things that we're resisting. If we want those things, we are going to want to fight through this challenge. We're going to want to release this and take charge of these particular thought processes. These can be some of the most destructive, the most rebellious of all. Beautiful side, they can drive us into being entrepreneurs, very creative, effortlessly thinking, resisting being controlled, something that allows us to be so fiercely independent. They can also cause some other challenges. I'm going to say one last thing on this topic, and then we'll be wrapping up for the night. Disciplined. If someone wants to be entrepreneurial, responsible for the results, for the income, what they create helps, where they sleep and what they eat depends on what they create. If you want to live like that, it's a glorious way to live. You wake up every morning unemployed, and what you eat and where you sleep is dependent on what you create. It's a glorious way to live, to work like that, and to build a business. That's what business is all about, being totally responsible. If we want to do that. If we currently have a job and we have a boss, one of the transitions we're going to want to go through is not just firing our boss. We're going to want to become acquainted with what it's like to be the boss. In other words, we're going to want to apply for the position, get hired, perfect our skills before we ever fire a boss. If we fire a boss prematurely without assuming full responsibility for outcome, we are destined to failure. So discipline, when it's resisting authority, we want to make sure that if we let go of the person who may be trying to impose it, we're willing to step in and impose it. We'll be our own toughest boss, driving ourselves to excellence. It's a great way to live again. So important. Now, before we wrap up this session, is there anyone on the call tonight who has a question about those things that we've covered? Just come off of mute, star 6. Be happy to answer any questions you might have. It's great to be with everyone tonight. Take this particular piece on. And in preparation for next week we're going to go into joy in the journey. Because this is a journey. It's not a destination. It's a journey. What can we do to find joy in each step of this journey so that we can be prepared on a daily basis to show up fully engaged in life? So come prepared next week to go a little deeper into joy in the journey. It's great to have everybody with us tonight. We wish you the very best and have the very best week of your life. Thanks, everyone, and good night.